reason why. Oh, I can't say. Happy Thursday, everybody. Here we are again. It's me, Jick. It's you, Hot Stuff, and you, Riff.
Hello.
Hi.
We're Jick, Hot Stuff, and Riff. How's it going, public? Do you think it's fair to call the subset of people that listen to our show the public, or do you think our sample size is too low?
Well, you can't call them private, because that would imply something entirely different.
You can't touch their privates.
That's also true.
Well, not all of them at once, at least.
Well, I guess if you're playing some sort of really complicated game of Twister.
I guess that's true. Did you see that, I don't know who did this. It might have been College Humor. That seems like the kind of thing that they would do. But it was a commercial for Twister that was basically like, Twister, it'll let you touch your female friends. You know, because they're never going to date you. Because you're a nerd. That's the implication.
Wow.
Yeah. So here we are on the radio again. We got... I feel like we got a bunch of shit to talk about.
We didn't even talk about any of it last week.
I know. We didn't talk about anything last week at all.
Yeah.
What did we even do on the radio last week? Why did we even bother doing a radio show last week?
We answered some questions.
That's probably true. what have you guys been up to since the last time we did the radio showed?
I have listened to nothing but Zero Day.
Yeah. You've listened to nothing but the new MC Frontalot album, which rules.
Yeah.
We keep talking about how much it rules.
I still need to get a copy of that.
Yeah?
We'll have to see if we can get you in the exclusive club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to nothing but the new Kleptones album.
What are the Kleptones? What's a Kleptone?
They're a mashup band.
A mashup band? They sound like a ska band.
Yeah. How is one a mashup band?
Well, okay. Band may be a misnomer.
It's like a
but
DJ.
They're a group that do really excellent like mashups. And it's not like separate songs, they do full albums that where each track melds into the previous one.
Like they take an entire album by one band and then they an entire album by a second band and they just play them at the same time.
like interlocking.
Yeah.
Interlocking stuff.
Interlocking mashups. The
I can see that. That's kind of like what a good DJ in a club would do.
Yeah.
Right,
it's,
theoretically.
It's that sort of thing.
Except it's two good DJs in two clubs that have a wire running between their stereos.
Right.
The first mix is the Beastie Boys' Sabotage and Voodoo People by The Prodigy, the version remixed by Pendulum. It's really awesome.
Huh. That's getting a little postmodern. When you are mashing up a song that is already remixed by another group.
No.
All right. So it's looking like we might get to premiere some awesomeness in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I've been given the mandate. I've been given the dictate. You think a dictate, a guy named Dictate would be like a guy you'd want to do stuff that he said, right?
Or
maybe you'd go on a mandate with him.
Or maybe he would just always be writing down things that other people said.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. There has to have been a guy named Dictate.
I'm sure.
Like the guy named Dick Seaman. The substitute teacher that Gamelli knows about, named Dick Seaman.
Yeah, that is such an unfortunate name.
Yeah. I feel like at some point you have to just change your name, right?
Yeah, I you know, either your parents weren't thinking or they hated you as a fetus.
Do you suppose that if stops on the London Underground were sentient beings, that cock fosters would be constantly ashamed?
I don't know.
Do you think it would bother him that everybody was always laughing? Maybe it's a woman, actually. Do you think it would bother her even more if she was a woman and everyone was laughing because she was a woman named Cock Fosters?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cock Fosters hate. Hate Fosters suffering.
I watched that 70-minute review of The Phantom Menace the other day.
I thought it was pretty entertaining.
It was very entertaining, and I had never really given it the analysis that it deserved.
Yep.
And now I don't know.
You have never found it quite as lacking as it deserves to be found.
Because I was just willing to just go along with it so much because I wanted it to be good. So badly did I want that to be good. You know, like I didn't even hate Jar Jar Binks, like, because I wasn't allowing myself to really find fault with.
You weren't allowing yourself to feel anything.
Yeah.
You were trying to be like a Jedi. You were trying to suppress your feelings. Love and hate are they're different sides of the same coin. Hot stuff, and you don't want either of them.
Yeah.
Love leads to loss. Loss leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to murder.
Yeah, basically.
Yoda said a bunch of shit when he wasn't on camera. He was, like, high a lot of the time,
when he wasn't on drugs.
Yeah, like, it's hard to deal with that dude sometimes.
But he kind of had a monopoly on the role. They could not find anybody else that size.
I think Riff's gay. Riff and I had an opportunity to get high with some 12-year-old girl just a minute ago, and Riff was like, no.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Where was I?
I know. I was like, wow, this would be a situation that Hot Stuff was really excited about. No, we were sitting out there smoking. So there's these 12-year-old girls that walk by the front of the office all the time, and I think every time they see me smoking a cigar, they think that I'm smoking weed, and so they like make jokes about me smoking weed, right? And they just walked by tonight saying, "Want to get high? Want to get high? Want to get high?" And I said, "Riff, do you want to get high with some 12-year-old girls?" And Riff said no, and then the girls laughed and left. I think that means Riff is gay, or at least doesn't want to go to jail. Maybe it means Riff is especially not gay, because
not
he's trying to get away
to
from...
If jail makes me gay, then...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Being in this neighborhood, I feel like more people wandering around are going to assume that if you're smoking something that is big and brown, that you are smoking marijuana wrapped in a blunt wrapper rather than you are actually smoking a cigar.
Or right? Poop.
I guess you could be, you could be smoking some turd.
Yeah.
You can't polish it, but you can smoke it. That's what I've learned. Riff, are you making some noises?
Not anymore, I think.
What was that?
I was unwrapping the case for Mass Effect 2.
Oh, I see. Riff's going to start playing Mass Effect 2, and it's going to be pretty cool. I've been playing some Mass Effect 2. It's pretty cool. I feel like it is a spiritual successor to Star Control 2 in some ways, because it has a boring mining minigame.
The mining minigame in Star Control 2 wasn't super boring if you went to really inhospitable planets. It's like really hard, actually.
Okay, I guess it was exciting if it was hard. There's no risk in this one.
Oh, yeah.
You basically have like a globe in front of you, and then you use your mouse to move around a little scanning icon, which moves really slowly and is like really obnoxious. Like, in order to actually play the mining minigame, it involves a lot of, like, sweeping your mouse all the way across the pad from left to right and then picking it up and putting it back on the left side again.
Wow.
Yeah, if there was a keyboard shortcut to, like, quickly rotate the planet, and maybe there is and I just don't know about it, then it would be a lot less onerous. But, like, it hurt. I after mining for, like, 20 minutes, I was like, wow, parts of my body hurt, as though I have been actually working in a mine for 20 minutes. Maybe that's what they were going for, right? Maybe they wanted,
verisimilitude.
You know, yeah, I mean, because the people that are you know, sort of interplanetary, palladium and iridium and platinum and element zero miners, they develop some RSI. It's a
element
thing.
Element zero?
Yeah, element zero.
They went all the way through, like, a list of things that are actual elements and then came up with some bullshit?
No, element zero is not bullshit. It's imaginary. There's a difference between bullshit and imaginary, right?
Okay.
When you tell me stories about, like, the history of Boston that aren't true, that's bullshit.
Okay.
And bullshit and lies. And if you told them in court, it would be perjury.
Okay.
If I make up a funny story about something, right, then that's imaginary.
Okay. What was the story about 12-year-old girls?
That was real. That was a true story.
Okay.
That actually happened.
All right. But
if I'd made up a story about 12-year-old girls, it would have been a lot more interesting than that, at least to me.
Would it have been bullshit, though?
Yes. No. Wait. Shit. I don't know. If
yeah. I feel like so the lines you're trying to draw,
I would hope if I made up a story about 12-year-old girls of the sort that I'm imagining making up about 12-year-old girls, and then told it in court, that they would not. I don't want to be like damned if I do and damned if I don't, right? Because either they believe the story and arrest me, or it's perjury and they arrest me for that, right? So yeah, maybe that's imaginary and not bullshit.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, the difference between lying and making shit up, it's a delicate thing. It's hard.
You're a creative professional. You are making shit up all the time.
I know, but does that make me a professional liar? No, because I am not an attorney. What do you call 1,000 attorneys at the bottom of the ocean?
A start.
A tragedy.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, what
an
horrible person you are, Hudson.
Wow. What the fuck, man?
I've actually been corresponding with my friend who is an attorney.
Oh, yeah? Really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been corresponding with my attorney, who I would not consider a friend, exactly. So we've got to... We're like two sides of the same coin, hot stuff. Riff made some Legos.
I did. I put together an elaborate Lego construction, which I need to...
It's freaking
awesome. The problem with designing it in software is that it's hard to anticipate the things that are going to be too heavy for the joints you're using and stuff.
So now that
I have it actually assembled physically, I need to make some renovations.
Man, all this shit is too heavy for the joints I'm smoking, Riff.
I found it kind of awesome that the software which auto-generated instructions for you made things...
Yes.
In steps, in sequences that were impossible to actually build.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Did
you actually look into this after we talked about it?
It started out pretty good, but it seemed to get really confused around the legs. And
apparently he had to construct objects and then insert bricks into the inside of objects. Like, put stuff inside of the hollow spaces that it had just created.
And there's, amusing steps where it says, okay, now this piece is going to hover in midair for 10 steps while you assemble other things underneath it.
Hmm.
And, yeah.
You'd think that if their instruction generator was doing shit like that, they wouldn't show it to anybody. You know, they wouldn't let you use it if... I always kind of wondered, Lego instructions, when I was a kid, I feel like maybe they were just drawing them, right? Like, maybe there was somebody who was just drawing these Lego instructions. But now, it's gotta be done by a computer.
I think what they do is...
They could let a computer do it and then sanity check it and fix it.
Yeah. I think they have specific rules for how a publicly released set of instructions should behave, and they go through and make sure that the computer-generated ones don't break any rules.
Well, so there was a bunch of shit in the forums that we thought we could talk about.
Yeah.
I don't remember what all they were. I remember the mechanical transparency thread was something that I wanted to chat about, but then I feel like there were a couple other things that I don't remember. Did you have anything in particular apart from the Mechanical Transparency thread that you wanted to talk about, Riff or Hot Stuff?
Not in particular.
I mean, there were definitely a bunch of things in the forums. I have to look and see.
Yeah.
Kind of afraid of talking about that thread because it seems to have the anger seems to have boiled off, and I don't want to kickstart it again.
There wasn't a lot of anger in it.
Well, okay, you know what I mean.
I got angry at it.
The intense emotions.
So we got. I mean, there was the Library of Brickos. There's like a discussion about the Traveling Trader.
So those of you who are complaining that the Traveling Trader is coming too frequently, like, it is going to slow down a bit. I would not normally, under normal circumstances, I would not have put him in there the last time that I did. I would have waited a week or two to do that. But there is an order of operations for some stuff that required us to do that now. So,
but also, I mean, from my point of view, like, having sometimes when he comes back relatively quickly helps keep you off guard.
He works better. He works better as an unpredictable force.
Yeah.
Right. But what I don't want people to I don't want people to get pissed that like, oh fuck, this guy's showing up every week and a half or 2 weeks for the entire year, and I don't want people to like start expecting him to show up every couple
of
weeks.
He's not going to show up that often.
Yeah. But part of the deal with the trader, right, is that one of my goals for January was to front load a year's worth of Traveling Trader things, and we totally succeeded at that, right? Like, there's not everything that we set out to do is done, but there is easily a year's worth of stuff sitting there that requires only minor polishing before it actually rolls out. Didn't accomplish exactly what I wanted, which was just to actually schedule it and have it happen automatically, because part of that was also me changing the trader so that I could just queue up a list of things. Where I halted on that was Hot Stuff pointed out that I needed to also make it so that it automatically announced the trader.
Yeah, and the fact that occasionally things don't work quite right could lead to all kinds of problems.
Yep, if we weren't paying enough attention. There were people because the announcements go out on Twitter now, there were a lot of people saying like, oh, this is super uncool for you to make this announcement while it's still rollover, right? And that has happened all the time for years, and it's only now that people are paying attention to the Twitter that they're like sort of noticing, because you can always load the front page of dev even during rollover, right? And so people know that you can do that and see announcements before the game comes back up, because we don't...
Yeah, that's been happening for ages, that the forum threads start before rollover has come back.
Yeah. But I guess people who don't know that trick and don't read the forums are following us on Twitter.
Theoretically, rollover's going to get really short soon.
Potentially. Every day that passes, I think of some new thing that we have to sort of refactor if we're no longer doing those backups that we do. Because there's some shit that we do that uses that alternate copy of all the MyISAM tables that we have. That's gonna have to be rewritten.
Ah, great.
Yeah, no, it's not a simple thing, but we did go to the data center, we did get the new backup server in place, and it's working, it's been backing some shit up.
We started installing additional servers just hovering in midair.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Our rack situation is weird.
We found out that they had installed all of our everything, basically, in the rack, post up, so whatever sort of rack mount hardware they used could work in any three holes, but the stuff we got only worked in like the appropriate three holes.
Yeah, so basically when you have rack mounted servers, right, there are these rails running up and down the front and back of the rack that have a bunch of holes in them, and I thought that the holes were all just spaced evenly,
but they're not.
There are like three holes and then a gap and then three holes and then a gap and then three holes and then a gap, and what you're supposed to do is put the servers in those sets of three holes, right? Some are three holes, some are six holes, some are nine holes. Your dad's favorites are the ones that are 18 holes.
Right.
Because Hot Stuff's dad is a golf enthusiast. Your mom typically only prefers one hole. Every once in a while she's feeling a little more adventurous than usual. But anyway, So they had, these new things that we got came on Rails that actually required you to put them in the proper orientation in the rack. And so now, three holes equal a U of rack space, right? And now we have two-thirds of a U sitting there empty.
And one-third of a U at the very bottom.
Yeah. Which would require us to sort of detach and reattach a lot. You know, say 500 pounds of server.
It would suck.
It would be a fucking nightmare to do it. So I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
So we're also sort of out of space. We've rented half of a rack. And the rest of the rack is
an entire half rack.
The rest of the rack is empty, but we've basically filled it completely up. The rest of the rack is empty because our servers were so dope. Our servers had such sick processors. I'm trying to cater to a younger audience by describing our hardware in terms that they understand, in terms that they use to describe, for instance, their skateboard tricks. We used more power than was available for the rack, so we had to pay to get some extra power circuits put in there. So basically, there's no way that the data center is going to be able to rent the other half of our rack to anybody else, because they would have to run new power. So as long as there is space anywhere else in the data center for somebody else to rent a half a rack, or a portion of a half of a rack, or a portion of a half of a rack, I could probably do that 6 times before it didn't mean anything anymore.
It kind of already lost meaning, though.
Yeah.
I think people stopped paying attention several half racks ago.
But we're only paying for half the rack. And if we start using any more of the top half and anyone notices, then we have to start paying extra rent for the space. Each of those three holes is $40 a month.
Yeah, and, like, that's the question. What happens if we just filled that whole top half rack up?
And didn't tell anyone.
Would they actually notice?
I doubt if they ever would, honestly.
Yeah. I feel justified right now in using one extra U from above.
Because it's temporary.
Well, because of the way that the other shit was installed by their sort of cohort company.
Yeah, they're not going to feel like taking responsibility for the stuff that this other company did.
Though. Sure, but like, it's not our fault, and redoing all of that would be such a huge pain in the butt.
Right.
That, like, one U seems fair right now, but, you know, if we ever add any other servers, then...
Yeah, we'll have to rent the top half of the rack and get more fucking power, so it'll be more expensive for us, to use the rest of our own rack than it would be for us to just get a different rack elsewhere in the data center.
Yeah.
Which is obnoxious.
Yeah.
And also, the way that they installed the power strips that they put in, these big industrial power strips, are put in such a way that you can't actually mount hardware in the top half of the rack without taking the power strips off and then putting them back on when you're done. Like, it's... So, this happens, right? Like, your setup in a data center gets worse and worse over time as things change. No matter how careful you are about, you know, like, oh, I'm going to make all these cables the correct length, but then you don't want to do that, because what happens if a year from now you have to move your switch up for you? Right, then, oh, fuck, now I have to buy all new cables. And that's obnoxious.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got this new backup server, which is theoretically gonna take the place of a lot of processes running on a lot of boxes and a lot of hard drive space that's being used on various machines to back up other machines, and theoretically is going to lead the way for us to be able to work out a situation where rollover is far, far shorter, which is kind of awesome.
This is all theoretical.
Yeah. It's like theoretical internet dollars that we've earned by being popular on the internet.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was yesterday. Fucking trip to the data center and smashing thumbs in between rails and yanking on fucking cables.
me dropping stuff down the side of of the rack.
Hot Stuff nearly lost a thing in our rack.
But I was able to recover it.
Yeah. The new servers have these cool things on the front. It's just like a little screen that if something's wrong with your server, like only one of your power supplies is plugged in, it just flashes red and says only one of your power supplies is plugged in.
You should take another power cord and plug that in.
Should I?
Sure.
Should it be like an E major power cord?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was an E major.
I have no idea what you mean by E major.
I know. You don't know anything about music.
I don't know anything.
You can't even tell when songs have weird time signatures.
I especially cannot tell when time signatures.
You can tell the difference between. All right, so we were evaluating some music for our new game, and it was a loop that was just going to be repeated, and I was like, you know, this one has a weird time signature and this one doesn't, and you didn't understand, you just do not comprehend the fundamental difference between these two, like, 2 second stretches of music.
No.
That are going to be repeated. And it's weird to me.
It's weird to me
that you hear something, but I can explain it to you and you still don't understand it.
Yep.
Like, you think Salisbury Hill is a good song, but you don't understand what it is that differentiates it from an identical song with a subtle difference that would
that
not be
true.
Nearly as good. Right? It's weird.
I wonder if there are, like, analogs.
You know that you're happy during the resolution of March of the Pigs, but you don't know why.
I wonder if there are, like, analogs in, like, photography. If I could, like, show you a photograph and be like, do you think this is a cool photograph? And you'd be like, yes. And I'd be like, do you know why you think
this
is a cool photograph?
I'm absolutely certain that there are.
But I feel like I could explain what was going on, and you'd be like, oh, okay. And then you would know forever more. But, like, you've explained time signatures to me at least 6 times, and I still have no idea.
Did you not have any music education as a kid?
No, none.
That is weird, because going to school... Riff, when you were in school, did you have, like, a music class?
Yeah, we learned about, like... I don't remember most of it, but I vaguely know what time signatures are. And
I mean, you just
about,
did stuff
like,
where you'd have to, like,
notes,
clap
like
in
that.
Rhythms.
Yeah, and they've
learn
got those ridged sticks that you rub together and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, ridged sticks that you rub together. I mean, you did plenty of that in your school, Hot Stuff, but it wasn't exactly the
did
same
did plenty
context.
Of that as an extracurricular activity.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the data center.
Yeah.
How did we get from that to the time signatures?
Salad dressing, I think.
Salad dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the missing link.
Yeah.
Salad is always the missing link. Ah, boy, did we have some delicious salads before the radio show.
They really did.
Were they hilarious?
They were.
Yeah.
They were pretty funny. They had some tomatoes. That was less funny.
I mean, yeah, they were funny insofar as they were part of a salad.
Data Vortex is asking us to drop more hints about the March item of the month. Not going to do it.
Oh,
we've dropped. It's been explicitly stated what it is. Not going to drop any more hints.
We came up with some cool ideas for it tonight.
Yeah, Hot Stuff invented a neat thing.
It is the scope of this thing is creeping like all our other scopes.
We should start using Listerine instead of scope.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, what do we want to do? Do we want to take Twitter questions? Do we want to look at Radio Bugbear questions? Do we want to talk about this mechanical transparency thing?
Whatever. You know, whatever floats your boat. Suits your fancy.
I don't know that our opinions about mechanical transparency are going to be interesting enough to talk about on the radio. But let's try it anyway. There are basically people in the forums saying that I forget what thread this was initially split off from. It was the Brickos thing, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody saying that it's bullshit that we would release this item that was a donation item and not disclose everything about what it did. Oh, it was because somebody found some images and leaked them
beforehand
to the forums, and then Scully got pissed.
Yeah, that got split off into a... spoilering things by searching the...
Yeah,
so that was... Maybe that was the first
spoiler
thread,
and
then the spoiler thread
got
split in it. Yeah, it was like you're playing blackjack and you just fucking keep getting eights, right? And you know, maybe mechanical transparency will split into, like, people that want to constantly suck our penises and people who want to stab us in the ass with a knife, not like a penis.
How do those resemble eights?
Well, it's just another split, right? It could be an eight-shaped knife.
Oh, wow.
Right.
I was thinking bowling alleys. I don't know how you got to such violence.
Miss, the split you sold me is making me choke. What, I paid $7.10 for that split.
Yeah. And also you're Jewish in New York.
Yeah.
At a deli.
Let's see.
We could talk about the spoiler thing for a second, which was kind of, in my mind, not a huge issue, right? I feel like people looking for stuff, you know, knock yourself out. Don't take up a tremendous amount of, like, server resources to do it, if you're going to do it.
The people who went into the speculation thread about the item. So basically what happened is we were working on the item of the month.
Yeah, we're popping backwards on the stack.
Somebody was digging around in the image directory.
Well, no. What happened was because there was, like, a slight leak of information on our part about a dwelling.
Oh,
they
right.
had a word to all right,
so
for.
We fucked, yeah, we fucked something up, and they learned the name Bricko.
Yeah.
So then this guy started searching for a bunch of pictures that just were like Bricko whatever, right? And he found a bunch of them, and then told people in his clan about it, and then some assholes in his clan...
Then somebody made like a sort of a smart comment in the speculation thread, which I thought was kind of funny.
This is where you and I differ,
yeah,
right?
See, like, I thought that was kind of funny.
So we all have different... The entire staff has different opinions on this whole deal, right? Scully is pissed, doesn't want people poking around, right?
Right.
I am okay with people poking around, but I don't want them being assholes about it on our forums. Hot Stuff likes assholes and poking.
I like the idea that people are like looking for, you know, holes and sort of content and stuff like that. I'm okay with like the oblique reference to stuff that you find so that in retrospect people realize that you were like had advanced knowledge, because that's cool, right?
I feel like that makes you an asshole. Here's what I feel like. If you are somebody that I already think is an asshole, I think that makes you an asshole. And it was people that I already thought were assholes.
So, but then the just direct posting of content before it's released to a public forum, that I was like, that's kind of not cool.
I don't mind if people want to search for stuff in the database, so long as they entirely keep it to themselves, like not on the forums, not on the wiki, until it's been found by someone through legitimate means.
Yeah. I mean, that would be ideal. I'm also not that bothered by the way things transpired. It kind of sucked a little bit, but it also kind of built up some buzz about what we were doing, which was also kind of cool. So, you know,
and
it's
kind
of a wash.
So it's all well and good to say, yes, this leak built up some buzz about what we were doing, but adopting as your policy the fact that it is okay for stuff to get leaked because it builds up some buzz is, in my mind, tantamount to deliberately leaking stuff to build up buzz, which is some bullshit.
But we weren't deliberately leaking it.
I know we weren't. And that's why I didn't say it was identical. I said it was just tantamount. Yeah.
Okay, alright. You know, you gave that sermon from the Tantamount, and that was just full of shit.
Oh, weird. I was like, your tantamount will freeze before you reach the South Ridge. And then I said, then I'll see you in hell.
The meek shall inherit the
my
tauntaun mount.
Yeah. So then somebody was like, well, it's bullshit that they didn't tell us exactly what this thing did when they put it in Mr. Store, which I can take. I can tell anybody who believes that that they can take their beliefs and shove them up their ass for all I care about whether they're clean or not.
We have never done that in the past, right? Maybe not never. We have very rarely been super explicit about stuff that we put in there. Only if it's like really complicated. And this isn't that complicated, you know? Like, if stuff hadn't been found by the middle of the month, then maybe we would have stepped in and been like,
or we would have at least
guys.
Dropped hints that there were things left to find, right?
But we knew that people would find it, and the people that are really interested and concerned about it would look it up on the forums and or the wiki. You know?
So there's a number of different things going on with this argument about mechanical transparency, right?
Sure.
Like we definitely, and I, when I say we, I basically mean me, because I'm always the one behind these kinds of changes, right? Like potions telling you what they do, effects telling you in blue what they do. Right, as opposed to, you know, like, if you've only been playing for 6 months, you don't know that back in the day, all effects were completely opaque, right? They did not tell you. A thing that gave you plus 10% initiative did not tell you that it gave you plus 10% initiative. Somebody had to figure that out, and that's how the wiki knew, right?
Yeah.
And so, the argument that comes out of our side a lot of the time is that, well, this game has fostered a community of people who like dicking around, gathering data, looking at numbers, and determining what these mechanics are. And so we don't want to ruin those people's fun by spoiling stuff. I'm not sure how real of a thing that is, because I feel like it is like a handful of dudes, right?
Maybe. And so, I was one of those dudes.
I know. So. I know that you were one of those dudes. And, like, you know, I feel like we as designers are perpetually in danger of just disappearing up our own asses, right? And I believe that an important part of my job is to make sure that that doesn't happen, right? So I have to make sure that your personal biases don't fundamentally alter the way that we do things.
But
I have to
make
sure
that
Mr. Skull has personal biases.
Personal biases.
Well, yeah, I don't, right? And that is why I'm the most nervous of all of us, right? Like that's, you know, at some point it has to be. The buck has to stop in terms of the creative vision of this thing, right?
Right.
And like it, you know, falls to me because that's where I'm standing, right? Stops at me, falls on me. Buy the buck and sell the buck and tell the buck and tell the buck, don't stop at me.
Yeah,
I tried, but it didn't. It ignored me. It just stops here anyway. So. This was a long tangent.
Riff,
from
are you like shaking your microphone cord or something funky?
Yeah, I can stop.
What the fuck? Who's calling us?
I don't know.
Wrong number, probably.
Yeah,
it always,
it's always
is.
A wrong number. You always answer it. Say, call me Nuka Beachside. So we've been moving in a direction, and again, you know, when I say we, I mean me. I've been moving in a direction of giving people more and more information about stuff. Cause, you know, I would kind of like to be explicit about what skills do. For instance,
sure.
Like passive skills, right? Because basically people have figured all of those things out. However, there are some things that are cumbersome to explain. And in those cases, even if I, in the spirit of full disclosure, wanted to be absolutely as clear as possible about everything in the game and how it works, mm-hmm. there would be some things that if I described them, it would look like something that I didn't want appearing in the game, right? Somebody's like, you should be explicit about the way that Transcendental Faction works,
mm-hmm.
right? And so Riff said, you know, all you need to know about Olfaction is that you use it on a monster and you see a lot more of that monster. And then somebody says, Riff, you're so casual, it makes my butt hurt. Right?
I think that might be the fiber in their diet.
I'm going to tell Riff. I'm going to tell a story about a contentious feature of KOL.
Okay.
One of the times when I created a character and went through the beginning experience of KOL to see what it was like, I noticed something that frustrated me. And what I noticed was something that really only bothered me because I knew what was in this zone. It probably wouldn't have bothered me as a player, but it just made things less fun as a player. I was adventuring in, say, the sleazy back alley, and it was just like, you're fighting a spider. And then I beat him, and I'm like, woo, I beat a spider and got a web. And then I adventured again. You're fighting a spider. Woo, I beat the spider and got a web. Adventure again. You're fighting a spider. Woo, I beat the spider. I got a web. Adventure again. You're fighting a spider. And I'm like, huh. That kind of sucks. From an experiential point of view, this is not as fun as having some variety, right? So I'm going to invent a new mechanic on the back end to stop this from happening.
To reduce
the chance of it happening. I mean, it could still happen. It was still theoretically. I did not want to make it impossible to encounter the same monster twice in a row because that's something that you would expect to have happen, you know, every once in a while. Something that I have learned is that genuine randomness is a lot less satisfying than fake randomness.
Massaged randomness.
Yeah. And so a lot of the things that we've done, and I think a lot of the things that game designers do in general, is massaging randomness to create a situation that is more
satisfying.
Aesthetically appealing, more satisfying, right? So I put in this thing that I called the cue, right? So when you see a monster, it adds that monster's monster ID to a list of things that you have seen recently. And when it's time for the game to pick a new monster for you to see, it checks to see if the monster is in that list of things that you've seen recently, and if so, it makes it less likely that you will encounter that monster. It doesn't make it impossible for you to encounter it, it just made it less likely for you to encounter that monster. And this was not a thing that people were supposed to game. This was not a thing that was supposed to convey a gameplay advantage. This was a thing that was supposed to convey an experiential advantage to people. It was supposed to make the game more fun. It was not supposed to make the game faster. It was not supposed to make the game more rewarding in terms of the number of stat points or the number of items that you got. People figured out that it was there. They didn't figure out that it was there.
You told
Here's the problem. People didn't figure out that it was there. I told people that it was there because I thought it was a fairly clever bit of experience crafting that I had done, right? I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I had this idea the other day, and I did this thing, and so now here we are. But then people figured out that you could abuse, and
you could use.
I say abuse.
Yeah.
Other people say use. You can't spell abuse without use.
It's true.
You also can't spell it without ab.
It's true.
Which probably stands for Aaron Burke.
Or a bus. From
the Mini Bosses.
You can't spell it without a bus.
Yeah, right. Or oob, which is also the last three quarters of pube. So you can't abuse yourself without pubes. That's what we've learned today, kids.
All right.
So you say use, I say abuse. I say that taking advantage of that. So here was the thing. It was global across all zones.
Originally.
Right. This is not important. I don't think it's a big deal if you adventure in the pantry and you hit a spider, and then you go adventure somewhere else for a little while, and then you go back to the pantry, and then you get a spider again.
There are no spiders in the pantry.
It's in the alley.
I know.
Fine. Man, I don't know anything about this.
No, so don't invalidate your arguments.
All right. Basically, from the experience of somebody who just wants to see some variety, like, novelty is fun, right? A varied experience is fun. So the more varied the experience, the more fun the player is having. It didn't matter if you saw a spider, and then you adventured somewhere else for 1,000 turns, and then you went back and saw another spider, right? Because you'd had some shit happen in between those two spiders, so it wasn't a big deal experientially for you to see those two spiders.
Right.
But people figured out, well, what I need to do is I need to adventure here until I get this monster into the queue, and then go adventure somewhere else so that I am more likely to... Right, they were getting stuff out of the queue, right? They knew that if they went to, like, the goatlet, where they wanted to get a bunch of dairy goats to get some goat's milk, they knew that if they fought a dairy goat, they were going to be less likely to see a dairy goat on their next turn there because the dairy goat was still in the queue. So they would time this, they would, like, adventure in the goatlet, and then they would leave, adventure somewhere else until they knew they had the exact right number of monsters pushed into the queue that the dairy goat was popped off of it, because they knew that that meant then that there was, like, an extra 12% chance of them encountering a dairy goat when they went back to the goatlet.
Yeah. Which, right? Honestly, you know, that is maximizing there. You know, that totally is.
It is maximizing, but it is the kind of thing that if it existed now, people would scream at us about it because it is fiddly micromanaging bullshit.
Well, sure it is. Yeah.
Right? It's an abuse of a system that is not designed to be used, right? And so people, this is frustrating to me. When this has come up in the past, somebody made the Donnie Darko argument. Right? I don't know if you guys know about Donnie Darko. Donnie Darko is an awesome movie. And it seems like the director's a fucking retard.
He's a frat boy who doesn't know what he's doing.
The director's cut was terrible.
Yeah.
Right? When they actually let him do what he wanted to do with the movie, it was kind of terrible.
And then he went on to direct Southland Tales, which is one of the worst movies I've seen in my life.
So somebody implied, well, you know, you didn't know what you were doing when you added the queue, but you accidentally made something that was really, really awesome, and then you took it away from us because you didn't like us exploiting it. You're just like that Donnie Darko jackoff. And that made me sad. I didn't want to be just like a Donnie Darko jackoff. I don't want to be just like Donnie Darko either. Who would you want to be? If you could be any character in Donnie Darko, who would you want to be?
That's a tough question. I don't know that I have an answer to that.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're that dark-haired girl? Just, like, hang out with yourself all day?
Jenna Malone. That's the actress.
Is she old enough?
She might be now.
She's got to be old enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Girls. So, yeah. Mechanical transparency in that context, right? Like, people want to know how stuff works. Because if they know how stuff works, then it gives them this fractional gameplay advantage over people who don't know how stuff works. I believe that there is potentially some value in a competitive landscape where knowledge actually has value.
Yeah, I do. I definitely feel that is the case. That's why I'm against 100% mechanical transparency on everything.
The trouble is, nothing stays secret.
Well, it depends, right?
I mean, even when there is an incredibly compelling advantage to keeping something secret, people don't do it. Because everyone has to. Everyone has to cooperate in order for a secret to be kept. Once information is known by X people.
Well, but unless one person finds something out and is like, wow. You know, when I feel like
that never happens because the sort of people that look for that obscure information are the people that want recognition for having found that sort of thing.
Depends, right? Like, when I was playing the game, and, you know, PvP worked the way that it did way back in the day, I compiled a list of every effect that affected your stats, and I didn't share that with anybody, and I was able to dominate in PvP because I had that list, and I went to the trouble of actually compiling that, and, like, every public list was just incomplete or incorrect. Right?
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know, when I designed the Ragamuffin, you know, that whole thing was all about seeing if somebody would find that and keep it to themselves.
Right. And they didn't.
No, I know. And that's fine. And it was a failed experiment. And, well, it wasn't a failed. It was to see what would happen if you...
Right. It was not a failure in that we learned what we set out to learn by doing that.
But if you explicitly tell people to keep it to themselves, they won't. And so... You know, we can't.
Maybe
we cannot
just
trust that.
Do what the man tells them to do.
They can't. We can't trust that as a mechanism for the future, right?
Right.
So
the particular things that people are complaining about are things that are particularly difficult to figure out on your own. How does olfaction work?
Yeah, I mean, right. it's from the limited information that a player gets. It's really hard to derive some of the things that happen.
But it's convoluted as shit. I can't tell you the likelihood of encountering a given monster in a zone.
Right.
Right? Like, the way that logic works is complicated enough that I can't fit it in my head. Right?
You could probably figure it out given enough time.
For sure. I mean, given enough time or enough, like, statistics education, right? Like,
sure.
You know, or if I actually read that statistics textbook that I bought.
What do you think the percentage of people that buy statistics textbooks that don't read them is?
I don't know. Probably pretty high. But, you know, 99% of all statistics are made up on the spot. So.
Right.
So then there's the rate at which the spleen familiars drop
their items. Yeah,
their
sort of items.
Right. People are like... Basically, people feel slighted because if they knew exactly what the percentage rates were that a given item would drop, then they would change their behavior based on their knowledge of those percentages.
Right.
And because of the way that it works, it is very, very difficult to gather enough data to figure out how it works.
It takes a long time.
But the thing is...
A lot of trials.
From a player experience point of view, you just know that you get one pretty quickly, and then it takes a while, and then you get another one, and then it takes
a
while
longer,
and then you get another one, and then it takes another long while, and then you get another one, and then maybe you get a bonus one for the rest of your average number of turns that day. Maybe you don't, right? And I mean, what we could do is fake it even more, but then people would be pissed off about that, right? Like we could just say, all right, you're gonna get one in the first 10 turns with this, and then you're gonna get one at some point in the next 20 turns, and then you're gonna get one in the 30 turns after that, and then you're gonna get one in the 40 turns after that, right? We could approach it that way, but then people would be like, no, this is fucking lame, right? You should have it be a fixed chance and tell us what it is. You know, we are constantly torn between making things that are, like, comprehensible to casual players and things that are optimal for people who are really paying attention to stuff, right? And...
Yeah. I mean, maybe... So here's an interesting point, I guess. You know, from an optimizer's point of view, a casual player won't care if we explain how it works. And an optimizer will appreciate the explanation and then use that information in their play.
Well, if we could explain it in a way that casual players never saw it.
Well, we could explain it on the radio shows, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, other players, it's up to the players to, you know, transcribe and disseminate that information amongst themselves.
But do you think that's a good idea?
I mean, you've done it in the past, right? Like,
well, sure. I mean,
there are several mechanics
that... It happens organically. There are things that you didn't want me to tell people about that I...
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah, and I feel like, you know, like...
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
We also run the risk of ending up with something like delay. And if you don't know what delay is, look in the forums and see fucking just old faithful-sized geysers of nerd rage directed at us. Right?
It is an unpleasant mechanic once you know about it, I think.
Yeah.
You know? It is completely ubiquitously fair, but it still sucks.
Yeah. Although they argue, because they know how it works, that it is not fair.
Well.
And maybe they're right, you know? This is the thing. You can't get pissed off about a formula that you don't know what it is, right? You can't look at us and say, wow, you guys are fucking idiots. You fucked up this formula real bad if we don't tell you what the formula is.
Right. So that's our saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Also, there are things that if you knew how they worked, it would require you to do things that you don't want to do in order to maximize your gains per resource. Right? I feel like there are cases like that. You know, like, I remember when we did the Disco Bandit combos, right? Mr. Mag, who could see the math on the back end, was like, ugh, God, this is terrible. And to me, I'm like, this seems awesome, right? Like, there's a trick you can do as a Disco Bandit to get some extra stats out of a combat.
Which people didn't find out about or weren't using or something? Like,
I still don't know if it's really understood.
Huh.
Right? And,
The combos are an interesting case because of the requirement to do a bunch of stuff in a combat, which is kind of cool a couple of times. But then if you feel like you have to do it every combat,
right? But does that mean that it shouldn't exist?
Tedious,
I mean, and
right?
There's the thing, right? Like if there's something like you notice something cool happens every once in a while, that's cool, right? But if it's like, okay, now this means that I have to go through. I have to jump through all these hurdles every single fight if I want to get the most out of this fight. And it's like, so in a way, we are trying to please a group of people whose goal is to make the experience of playing our game as unpleasant as possible.
So if there was like a Street Fighter RPG, right, and all of the like crazy combos that you can do would convey some sort of like advantage if you did them, like you would... Every fight you would want to do them, and would that become tedious and boring? I think it might, especially over the long haul, right? I feel like that is just sort of the arc of something that requires a lot of very specific actions over and over and over again. You know? Yeah, you know, this is the problem, right? Like, we try to make the game more vibrant and interesting, and for a significant number of people it is, and for another potentially significant number of people that adds a layer of like micromanagement that is unpleasant, you know, and
right.
I don't eventually it's possible we will add, you know, combat macros or something that will sort of alleviate some of this, you know, that might happen. That's just super difficult given the variable number of things that can happen in combats, you know.
There's this list that Royal Tonberry put together in this forum thread of things. I do not really see what the problem is with letting us know how certain mechanics work, especially older ones. I'll give some examples, he says.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is consumable size / quality, or really minimum adventures and maximum adventures. This is a weird case.
Yeah, this one, like, even I don't get all of this because you've got some weird math on the back end that I've never actually seen.
Well, I used to have some weird math on the back end.
You still do.
Sort of.
No, you still do. Like, if I put in a minimum and a maximum adventure game, that's not actually what the Fooder Booze does, because there's still some compression on the back end that I don't understand.
Well, the ranges get compressed from what you put in there, yeah.
But no, that's clearly a step that I don't even know what's going on. You
right,
know?
But it's fairly straightforward. Food and Booze are kind of a mess, right?
Yeah.
They went through a number of changes. The thing that happened that pisses people off, I think, there are foods... So, you eat a food... And you get X number of fullness points, and you get...
Which is always the same, right?
Which is always the same.
All right.
And then you get between A and B adventures. And back in the day, A and B were not necessarily integers, right? Because consumables were given a size and a quality. And then there was a formula that determined the gains based on a size, based on the size and the quality.
Yeah.
Right? So you would get anywhere
from... The size was the fullness.
You would get anywhere from... Yeah, the size was the fullness or drunkenness that it gave you. You would get somewhere between size times... You would get somewhere, I think, between size and size times quantity.
Quality.
Sorry, yeah, quality.
Yeah.
You would get somewhere between size and size times quality adventures, right?
Right.
If that range was gigantic, which it was in the case of, like, you know, the high-end noodle foods where the quality was, like, 5 or 6... Right, and the size was like maybe 3. You get from 3 to 15 adventures from a set of noodles with that level of quality, right? Except that 3 to 15 is kind of a bullshit range because you don't want somebody to like, oh, I got this thing that could give me 15 adventures, but it only gave me 3. So I compress the range down until it is a range of like 7 or less, right? I think. Is how that works. So, basically, there were a bunch of revamps of this system on top of a bunch of content that had been added with numbers completely pulled out of my ass. And I remember, I remember which bar I was sitting in when I worked out the formula that was used for years on a fucking napkin.
Was it Georgian Dragon?
It was Georgian Dragon, yeah. Did you remember that from me telling the story before?
No, I just remember you talking about you doing a lot of back of the napkin work from Georgian Dragon in the early days.
Because it was right. It was the place that was nearest to my old job.
Right.
Right. So I would be thinking about work all day and then go drinking and working on a napkin. Design the hedge maze on a napkin from Georgian Dragon. I still have those napkins in my office. I see them.
That's cool.
Yeah. Show them to you later. Any of you listening, if you're lucky, come over and I'll show you my napkins. So that's the way that it worked. And then when I hired Xenophobe, we started sort of generalizing a lot of systems that had been hard-coded into the game, right? We started doing things where, like, I was like, you know, I don't necessarily always want to be limited to this, so let's set it up so that if I wanted to, I could make some food that gave you, you know, more adventures than it normally would based on the size and quality of the food. And it basically made it so the size and the quality didn't mean anything.
Yeah, we still use quality for some things, but...
For some stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but not, you know...
But because it's divorced, it's a lot harder to know what... It's just a mess.
Right, so something that happened then was we automatically filled in a lot of the numbers and realized, you know, this thing doesn't really give you... Because quality was not always an integer, right? You would end up with, like, all right, this gives you between 1 and 1.5 adventures, right? And what that means in
the way
practice...
The way that the game handles that is half of... If it determines that you get something 1.5 times, then you, like, half of the time, the 0.5 of the time, you get 1, and the other 0.5 of the time, you get 2, because you have to get an integer at the end.
Right, so basically, in that particular case, that's kind of equivalent to just 1 to 2, right? Because half the time you get 1.
Well, but it isn't, though, because if it's 1 to 1.5, then half of the time you get 1, half of the time you get either 1 or 2.
Okay.
So 3/4 of the time you get 1, and 1/4 of the time you get 2. So then something where you got 3.1 adventures means...
Every once in a while, you will get... Like 1/10 of 1/4 of the time, you will get 4 adventures from that.
And so that I can understand that being kind of a pain in the ass to spade.
Right. And basically, once we divorced the number of adventures you got from size and quality, and it got to be where there was just a form in the item spindler that we would fill out with how many adventures you get from the thing, and then set up a button to automatically calculate the quality based on that, which then doesn't always make any sense, because if the ranges are not necessarily something that compresses down from the old formula. You know, maybe what we should do is just completely redo the way Food and Booze works, right?
Yeah.
But that just seems like such a crazy daunting thing to do at this point. Because how much other shit would change, right? Like, there's no way for us to do that. There would be no way... If we were to try to explain to people the way that Food and Booze work now, it would just be incomprehensible. There are so many weird details about stuff. If we try to fix it, we will piss people off because suddenly Munchies pills aren't as good as they used to be.
I would say by itself, it's not huge, right. But it's not that big a deal. But then there's all this other totally extraneous weird shit like Munchies pills and milk of magnesia and like all this other stuff that.
So like basically we are damned if we do and damned if we don't.
Yes.
With all of this stuff, and so. It's, you know, it's a little frustrating to hear people say, like, somebody got all butthurt, like, why the fuck is all food not just an integer range of adventures that you get? This is retarded. Why would they do this?
Because it's a historical accident. Yeah. I mean, it's...
And I mean, also, I don't know that, like...
You know, like, why the fuck is this house you built by yourself over the course of 10 years not fire retardant? Because you built it out of like 2x4s that you found in an alley. I mean, like,
right?
You know, I don't know how to apologize for that. Like, that's just the way it happened. You know. Okay, well, the game built out of 2x4s you found in an alley.
Damn. So you know, I mean, like, I could see what I would like is if food and booze.
Yeah.
In this game were like sort of divided into quality tiers that we could describe to somebody, right?
Also, if they were divided into breakfasts, lunch, and dinner.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, yeah. But what I don't want is to have... I don't want to take the variety that we have now in the things that you can eat and drink and make it so, well, you know, these are low quality, which means you get one adventure per fullness or drunkenness. These are medium quality, which means you get two adventures per drunkenness or fullness. These are... you know, high quality, these are epic quality, these are super awesome quality, these are double deluxe super awesome quality, right? Because I don't want to be chained to that system.
Right.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know, I feel like at this point, if we were to change the way that food worked, I would very much want to do it in a way that reduced
the number of adventures
that people were playing at the high end.
Yeah, well, okay, that's the thing. If we could do it just at the high end, that would be, I think, a little bit more palatable overall, just because... But maybe not. Like,
but see, here's
people
what we're
really like. People really like when they want to be able to play 600 turns in a day.
Sure.
You know.
But I don't necessarily think that you should be able to play 600 turns in the day with stuff that you bought at the mall for like 3,000 meat, right? Like, so.
Well, but I don't think you
can. I guess you can't.
Yeah,
but
no, I think.
But I mean,
I think that's a little self-limiting.
It's the kind of shakeup that I feel like is dangerous, right? We basically, if we were to revamp the food and booze system, we would look at what people are doing now and think, all right, well, we can't take people's toys away from them. Right? History has proven that it is a bad idea for us
so,
to take people's toys away from
them. More.
So here are the constraints of our new system that we have to come up with.
Yeah.
Here are these outliers that we have to leave where they are, or people won't, you know. And the thing is, the players understand this shit better than we do.
Oh,
at this
point, by far.
Right? We will do stuff like, all right, these Munchies pills. Hey, this should be a thing that, like, you know, Jim, code this up so it adds turns, and the worse quality the food is, the more turns it adds, right? And, like, that creates some weird shit that I have no idea what it actually does to people who are playing the game, and I don't know what I've done to fuck it up since then.
I mean, I know I have definitely messed with that, because I'll put in foods with higher qualities than they probably warrant, or lower qualities than they probably warrant, which means I interact with other stuff in kind of unpredictable ways. Yeah, you know, and I just can't always keep it all in my head when I'm balancing stuff.
But nobody can keep it. It's too big for any of us to comprehensively understand.
Well, yeah, especially on the on the sort of designing it end when we're trying to put stuff together. The irony of stuff, to some extent, is I will pretty regularly go to the wiki and look at the data that they have on foods and booze is to get a sense of like where I should balance something, and if it's wrong, that's pretty funny, right? You know, it works because largely it is like, you know, within 5% accurate,
right?
But it is kind of funny that like it's gotten to the point where we use the players' information sets because it is just so much better organized than the information sets that we have. on our own, just because we're kind of lazy and haven't put together stuff from sort of first principles to design stuff, you know. I mean, we have tools inside, like when I'm putting enchantments on stuff, like I will look at stuff with a tool that we have on our back end to sort of relatively place enchantments. Right. But for food and booze, we never built those tools because the players had done it for us. And so I'm like, oh, cool. We don't need to bother with that.
Yeah, or because we just never paid attention. I mean, oh, this seems like a thing that would give this number of adventures for this amount of fullness, right? Like,
because we just, you and I balance things differently.
Sure. I mean, yeah, right. You balance things, and I, you know, sort of sprayed diarrhea at the scales.
And then your intuitions are, like, almost always really good, which, you know, I think is one of the reasons that KOL has became a game out of a joke or whatever, because you had the sensibility of how to make it fun and sort of gamey without really spending a lot of time worrying about math and stuff.
Right, know? And there have certainly been things that we have balanced to the point where they were no longer fun.
Right.
Right.
And that is definitely a
and so
danger.
That's, I mean, and that, so I feel like a lot of the time I'm sort of running, I'm playing referee between you and Scully, where Scully will propose something that would just be so fucking broken, right?
Huh.
And I was like, no, you know, that's not going to work at all, but it would be awesome, right?
Right.
I mean, people would think, wow, this is awesome. And then I will propose something awesome, and you will say, no, this is, you know, this would be broken if we did this. And then, you know, like, I feel like if either of you were in charge, things would be worse than if there was a balance between you. And my job in the middle is to kind of deal with that, you know, make that balance happen. Riff is pretty close to the middle.
Yeah.
In terms of doing stuff, you know?
Well, I leave a lot of the mechanical problems to other people. I mean...
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But you did a lot of the...
I mean,
the mechanical design for the Nemesis stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep up on playing, so I try and keep a general sense of how things work and what's possible, and I'm not a coder and I haven't looked at the code, so I don't have a perfect grasp of it, but I have a general sense of how things work, and so I find that I'm more able to, if I have an idea, I have a sense of whether it's plausible or not.
Yeah,
I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
With something like food and booze, the reason that I don't want to give complete mechanical transparency is because if you had complete mechanical transparency, you would understand how messy it is, and then you, as a player, would feel the sort of agony that I feel as a guy who knows how this works at the notion that there is no good way to fix this problem. Right? If you're not aware of the problem, then you don't feel like it is a problem that needs to be fixed, right? Sometimes these problems will peek their heads through and people will see them, right? And they will think, wow, this is kind of fundamentally broken, right? Somebody will figure... Some people are alarmingly good at figuring out when there's, like, a typo in a formula in one of
our
scripts, right?
I mean, wasn't there, like, a long, long-standing bug in one of the effects of choosing a particular moon sign?
Yeah. Wallaby just wasn't working unless you had auto-attack turned on. Right?
Right,
and somebody figured that out, and they think, "Well, this is a perfect case for, you know, telling us exactly what Wallaby did, so that we could, you know, understand that it was working, right?" But no, you know, it's supposed to be subtle and random.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily understand or realize.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I guess from a philosophical perspective, like, if something is subtle and random, what is that doing for anyone, right? Like,
right.
We are standing on top of a mountain looking at this mass of people playing and this mass of data that's coming out of their play, and we're thinking, oh, it'd be cool if something happened 1% of the time to half of these players that caused this thing to happen, because that would have this effect on the overall scope of things, but nobody except us can see the overall scope of things.
It's a little, like... One of the things that I appreciate, like, you know, playing World of Warcraft, like, anyone who plays World of Warcraft for a reasonable amount of time is likely to get a purple drop, like an epic, extremely rare item drop, you know, right? you are super unlikely to get a particular one, like one that, you know, matches your class or whatever. But just playing out in the world, killing random monsters that you, you know, you just sort of run across, you're pretty likely to eventually get at least one of those. And it's really exciting because it's super rare. And it's sort of like the kind of thing that the ultra rare monsters that we have is supposed to feel like, except for that's something that an average player isn't likely to encounter.
Right.
Right. That's something that is designed to be something that's part of the player economy.
But everybody, in that case, I think I can disagree with you in terms of like that being an important part of the player experience, because everyone theoretically has the opportunity to hear stories about it.
Sure.
Which adds to the experience.
No, I guess what I'm saying though is like, you know, from the Blizzard designer point of view, it's really cool to have, over the course of a player's whole career, a couple of these particular purple items drop or whatever.
Right.
But from a player point of view, you know, you really,
it's cool if it happens. It sucks if you never get one and you see all your friends getting them.
Yeah. Like playing with somebody and having them get two or three in a particular day or play session or whatever, you're like, God, I've never had one drop or whatever, right? And that has happened, right? Because it's just random.
No, I mean, I feel like that happened to you and I on the same day, right?
Yeah.
Like, we were playing with a couple of other people, and, like, we had a session where we were playing for a couple of hours, and, like, three, you know, of these, like, 0.1% drops happened.
Yeah, less than 0.1% even, probably.
And you know, so it's weird, but, you know, the thing is, that is a story that we remember about World of Warcraft.
Right.
Right? That is something that made the experience of playing that game interesting enough that we remember it, even if it's in a negative context.
Right.
So, who's to say that that's bad? I just did that thing where, like, you shift in your chair, and one of your balls gets caught in a way that it squeezes through a tighter space than you want it to, and so it's kind of like getting kicked in the nuts.
That sucks.
Yeah, got a little bit of nausea. Making it a little hard to
breathe.
Concentrate on anything except my left nut.
Huh.
That ever happened to you, public?
We should answer some questions, I think.
Should we?
We've talked enough about...
Have we?
...theory. I think we have.
All right.
I mean, we can... You know, I'm sure the discussion is not over. People will respond to what we talked about.
All right. We can burn through some Twitter questions pretty fast.
Yeah.
Sparklin writes, "The buck is so hard. That's why Jick deserves a Dodge Charger." Yeah. This is my first time actually listening live, so forgive the multiple questions. Are you guys planning to be at PAX East? I am not planning to be at PAX East.
Yeah, no.
Unless something pretty dramatic changes, I'm not going to go to PAX East. Also wrote, "I'm a casual player and the Naughty Sorceress has opened up, but I can't do anything in the sea. What am I doing wrong?" Well,
what does that mean by anything? Can you get to the sea, or can
you can get to the sea? But I think
that was
for a casual player, when the sea opens up, the monsters are way too hard for you to kill, right? And that's a thing, you know, like they're not too hard for you to kill if you've got some Hobopolis gear.
They're particularly hard if you're still wearing the
scuba gear.
Yeah, like it takes a while to like get out of that.
Yeah.
And if you don't counteract the negative effects of the scuba gear.
Well, but it's not, the fights are not harder without that. You don't necessarily get a lot of drops, right? But I mean, you know, you're not necessarily using a lot of potions, right? I mean, there are a tremendous number of incredibly cheap ways to make your character extremely powerful in this game. And if you don't know about them,
right,
then you don't know about them, right? And like it's, you know, I'm not gonna start a whole design discussion about this, right?
Well, but like, there's a category for potions, right? Like,
there's a category for potions, but you don't necessarily.
And now you can click on them to see what they do.
Now you can click on them to see what they do, right?
So,
but you don't necessarily know as a casual player. All right, I'm having trouble beating these monsters. I guess that means my muscle needs to be higher.
Right,
at some point, maybe you should be expected to know that, right? Like,
but the game doesn't help you a lot in figuring that out.
Right.
Necessarily. Like, the only thing that I think you might have as a casual player is like, well, I'm a seal clipper and I keep getting these, you know, quest rewards that are plus muscle. Right.
Right.
Maybe that means I should add more muscle. Right. And, you know, maybe you figure that out, but maybe you don't. Maybe this is the first RPG you have ever played, and that just doesn't sort of ring any bells for you. you know.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, this may be the first video game they've ever played.
Huh.
I mean, I've heard that from people.
It was the first game my mom has ever played, and watching her play was just kind of an exercise in, well, just an exercise in, like, not knowing where
an
on the screen.
An exercise in boner?
No, I was watching her, not you.
Okay.
Because she didn't know where on the screen to click.
Right.
Right? Like, she wasn't super familiar with the web, right? So this was, like, a huge step for her, and, yeah, like...
It's weird, because there's so many pictures of her on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be present on the web to be present on the web, if you know what I mean.
That's true. The Geo says, say how awesome the March Item of the Month is going to be to keep Mr. A prices going up. The March Item of the Month is going to be another fucking... Hey, you know, I was talking about leaving the February item in an extra couple days because February's short and it was a couple days late, but I think maybe that decision is going to make itself for us when we fuck around until the last minute and are super late on the March Item of the Month, too.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of ideas at this point and nothing implemented.
Yeah,
so.
nothing done at all. I'm going to Florida, and I'm going to hang out with Mr. Skullhead, and we're going to talk. We're going to drink, and we're going to talk about some fucking shit to do
for
this
March.
Yeah,
for like the first hour or two, you're going to talk, and then you're just going to be like, out of your minds drunk.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. We'll record it.
You should really do that. You should get some kind of way to record the...
Record audio?
Just whatever. Do like a recorded... radio series.
Uh-huh.
Like Serial.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be any fun to listen to.
You know, it would actually be kind of interesting, I think, to record a design session or, like, you know, a design series for, like, a particular thing that we were designing.
A meeting. Just record meetings. I mean, I feel like...
And then, you know, not including the Nemesis Quest, because that's, like, super long term, but something like the March Item of the Month. Anytime we were talking about it, to record it and then cut all that together and be like, okay, here's the process we went through.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do some highlights, maybe. I mean, people, because so, like, in the documentary, there was that like bonus footage that was the film of a meeting when we were like
talking about the
Spooky Raven expansion pack, right? And so that, like, I gotta feel like that's halfway interesting to people. It was frustrating to me because I'm like, oh god, like. I'm trying to do this meeting, which ends in a bunch of people doing a bunch of shit, and I, like, didn't tell anybody to do anything. Like, we talked about all this shit, and then, like, I remember this. I just went back to my office and did all this stuff that I talked about and, like, eventually asked some people to do some stuff for me, but, like...
We've gotten a lot more organized since then.
We have.
We can delegate tasks to each other. And, in fact, delegate them back and forth.
I know. We've been passing tasks. Hot Stuff will assign shit to me, and I'll be like, I don't want to do this. C.D. Moyer!
And C.D. Moyer's like, yeah.
Do this. Yeah, the pickpocket thing, he did not approach that in at all the direction that
you would have gone.
That I would have gone, yeah. I think it's fine the way that he's doing it, right? But it is not what I meant.
There's totally a pickpocket thing.
There's a pickpocket thing. It's weird. It's a thing that interacts with pickpocket in a complicated way.
There are a tremendous number of new mechanics in this
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident in saying that the Nemesis Quest is not 2 weeks off.
It will be out in less than two weeks. Yeah. Fewer than 2 weeks. Yeah. Extancic wrote, why have there been no compromising pictures of the asymmetric staff on Twitter yet? I don't know.
Oh, there was.
Yeah, Kevin, I mean, Hot Stuff took that picture of me fucking shaving, which, like... The thing that's compromising about that is, what are you doing in a room with me when my shirt's off, right? People don't realize, we're like brothers.
Yeah.
We do everything together.
Without shirts.
You know, sometimes I'm like, hey man, you want to take a bath? Sure.
Like, God. We're
comfortable with our masculinities. We're comfortable with each other's
Sparta,
masculinity.
Man.
It's like, what?
Sparta.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. No, in fact, that picture spawned the comment, maybe you should spend more time thinking about the game and less time thinking about your fatty gut as seen on Twitter.
Wow.
You know, I do have a significantly less fatty gut than I had in that compromising
That's
picture.
True.
Yeah. That was when I was getting rid of one of those mustaches. That was a couple mustaches ago. I think I have to stop growing mustaches because Mr. Skullhead will get mad at me.
If you keep growing them?
Well, because it became cool to grow a mustache. I was doing it before the hipsters started. I think they saw me and they were like, dude, That dude looks like he gets a lot of poon tang.
The number of things that I feel like a hipster sees some other dude doing that is just like an accident, and they're like, oh, I'm totally going to do that from now on. That defines the whole style.
You think?
Yeah.
Eliza Swan says, Hot Stuff is totally right that it would be a great game. It'd be called Trousers of Hanoi. This was something from last show where you're talking about playing Towers of Hanoi with people trading clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
R.C. Sorensen says, is the Gilded Chalice the end of the road on Bricko Fun? Do we want to say whether it is or not? Right? It's a question of mechanical transparency.
You have found almost everything, if not everything, by the time that you have found a Gilded Chalice, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't think that there is anything left.
Okay, the trick is, can you get that back to your starting location with that freaking duck attacking all the time?
Yeah. And the bat taking it. Yeah. Somebody wrote in a Radio Bugbear question thanking me for that reference.
Yeah.
I was happy that that turned out the way that it did. I'm surprised. The Bricko thread in the forums got too long for me to follow. So, I don't know if people are talking about that chalice as though it's an actual thing or not. It's kind of the first...
Somebody was telling me that it was underwhelming as a dictionary replacement.
Why is that?
Because it's too hard to get.
Well, the idea was that over time we would introduce more and more varyingly difficult to get, but all fairly difficult to get or limited in some fundamental way. Things that worked the same as dictionaries. You got something you'd rather be doing than being on the radio?
No, it's just Robert Ashley telling me that the first portion of our interview got fucked up.
Oh.
Because he was having all those technical issues.
That's it. We're going back.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Does he want us to go back?
He said, he's like, I'm having a calamitous month.
Mm.
Dash, Robert. Yeah, that sucks. He didn't say that, but I feel like he would not object to us getting some more material, potentially, maybe.
Huh. Well, the second part was the depressing part, anyway.
That's true.
Talking about how we would never
end up
fall in
old
love.
And alone.
Not with each other. That happened years ago.
Yeah.
Hyena17 says, have you heard of the show The Colony? It's from the Discovery Channel, and it's kind of like Fallout 3, the TV show. No, I've not heard of this. Zero Blah says, if we ask when the trader will visit again, will you delay him by 2 weeks? Please.
None may know the hour.
No. You're confusing it with something else, Riff.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so should we try and burn through a bunch of Radio Bugbear questions? I feel like that we're way the fuck behind.
You are the only one that has a sense, because you're the only one that does two shows a week, so I don't know what gets answered and not flushed.
I see. Well, hardly anything gets answered.
You say that, but that's just not true.
Rickett says, Dear Jick, do whatever you want to Food and Booze. People will bitch for a couple of weeks and then forget about it. Also, it'll be hilarious.
That can't have been an old question.
No, that's a brand new one. Okay. Senor Random says, when you were asking the girls to get high, did you do it a la Towley? No, listen, I did not ask 12-year-old girls if they wanted to get high. That would be super creepy.
Towley?
12-year-old girls asked us if we wanted to get high, and I asked Riff if he wanted to get high with 12-year-old girls, and he said no. And I defer
to
better judgment.
You guys are losers.
Yeah, really cool dudes would have gotten high with those 12-year-old
girls.
Every
cool guy would totally get high with 12-year-old
girls. Socrates is a terrible golfer.
Therefore. Okay, no, see, but this is the problem. If you're going to answer the most recent Radio Bugbear questions, we are never going to get through them.
I know, dude. Ever. Severus says, you need to fire Hot Stuff. He just does not know what words mean. Yeah.
Which words? In particular.
All of the ones in that sentence, for instance. Banjo on Q says, teleportation into tavern is a pain. Can you flag the tavern as a location not to be teleported into? Could you flag the barkeeper as a person not with whom to be fucked? The tavern will change.
Yeah.
I wrote a lot of it.
I know.
It's a thing.
There are a number of things that I was realizing that we should really roll out at some point soon.
Were there?
In the early 2010, yeah. Because 98% of a quest that Riff wrote two years ago is done.
Yeah.
There's like one single mechanic about it that we have just gone back and forth with.
And meanwhile, there's like
20 slots in the item table that...
Hey, they're all drawn.
Yeah.
The monsters. None of the monsters have art, though. Those are the only monsters that don't have art right now.
Are they?
Yeah. One of them is a tiny plastic. There is a tiny plastic conservationist hippie.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we did the tiny plastic of a monster that is yet unimplemented.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Fucking spoilers. Man, if I draw them, they'll just get spoiled in fucking Bazooka Fish comics.
Not anymore.
I know, not anymore. But that was kind of awesome. I had those monsters. Something that I want to do is just start drawing stuff and putting it in, even though I have I don't necessarily have any plans of implementing it, right? Because I think that would be a way to make me less. Like, it would be a way to make me feel less like drawing stuff was a giant chore.
It would also be fun for people to discover stuff that's never going to be.
No, and then I could dump a bunch of shit in the wiki. You know, like this brainstorming project, which Riff has not done any of yet, by the way.
I'm still trying to think of clever tricks.
It doesn't have to be that. You don't need to think of clever tricks. This is supposed to be
you're
easy.
Making it more complicated.
It's supposed to be easy, okay. Right? Mr. Skullhead's like halfway done. Hot Stuff's a fifth of the way done or something. I'm done. I was done before I even started.
Yeah, because you're an asshole.
I am an asshole.
You're like, here's a project that I've been thinking about for 6 months. You guys have a week.
I've been thinking about it for like a month. Dude, whatever.
Yeah.
Man, three of the six things. All right, so I'm like, hey, Mr. Skullhead, come up with six things. Hey, Riff, come up with six things. Hey, Hot Stuff, come up with six things. And I'm like, I should come up with six things to start to give examples of this before I actually ask for it. Three of them I came up with the day that I posted them at the laundromat.
They're a little thin.
Yours can be a little thin, too. In fact, you like them that way.
Yeah, I do.
I think some of my content ideas are a little thicker than the content ideas you usually hang out with.
This actually has nothing to do with that. Never mind. I was like, I drew a picture today. That was great. But then,
man, this one time Hot Stuff hooked up with this girl and then said that she was a little heavier than the girls that he normally hooks
Jesus,
up with.
Dude.
And then I've never let him forget about it ever since then. It was just a running joke.
True statement.
Sure. Yeah. You know, lots of things that assholes say are true.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it's like, wow. So I got him a No Fat Chick shirt for Christmas last year.
Yeah.
Which he never has worn.
No. And yeah. I don't think
I ever
will.
You don't think you're ever going to? Yeah. Wow, I think that's...
I think I put it in storage.
You don't like the heavier ladies, though. That's a fact about you.
God.
Oh, boy, are you a dick.
Yeah.
Answer a question while I get go some whiskey.
thanks for making me look like an asshole.
Follow that up, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, listen to what Hot Stuff has to say, because he's a real swell dude.
Okay, here's something that I actually can talk about. Star Spirit Gino says, are the Brico blocks based off the big Legos you played with as a toddler or the normal-sized ones? I kept pushing this idea that they were not shaped like regular size Lego bricks, but instead like regular size house bricks. And
well,
that's why
they are shaped like
well, they're,
regular
they're
size. They are sized.
Yeah, they're sized like the regular, like, so that's,
yeah.
All of those things, like when you make a bat, it's like regular bat size. It's not like a tiny little Lego bat. It is a regular bat size.
Actually, probably much larger than that if you make it out of house bricks.
I don't know. Bats are pretty big.
Well, how many bricks are in a bat?
Six.
Bats are fucking tiny. Have you ever seen a bat?
Yeah, tiny little bats, big. But there are
some
bigger
bats. That's a huge
bat.
There are no big bats.
There are big bats.
No, there aren't.
Yeah, there are.
Bats for bats.
As bats go buses. On average, that is a large bat.
Okay, fine. I don't know. There are bigger bats. They're like terrifyingly huge, like vampire bats, for example.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Parse says, the Gilded Brico should be cocktail craftable with lemons. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because the Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster, you know?
Right.
You got it. I didn't have to explain it to you.
But my problem is that you're still reading off of...
These are old.
Okay.
What, I'm reading off of what? That's like the 10th fucking question.
Okay.
I can't read the 10th one from the bottom or the 10th one from the top. How can I win?
Okay, the thing is, you have to answer the questions, read the questions, because I don't know where we are.
Linguini Lad says, damn, Jick, I keep getting my ass handed to me by these Brico monsters. Any advice on beating them? And then, I mean, like, try, like,
L2P, nub. That's my advice to you, Linguini lad. No, they're meant to be these like massive, crazy, huge monsters. So buff yourself to the gills, use a lot of divine combat items. You know. And he says, you guys should really make it so the Destroyobots can't be destroyed by the Boner Dagon. It's really sucky because I have to buy another one from the mall. Oh, poor baby. You gotta buy something from the mall, huh? Maybe don't use the Destroyobot against a monster that you clearly know is going to destroy your items. Alan Q. Smithy writes, out of curiosity, are old and temporary zones like Seaside Town 28 Days Later and Pass Crimbo still on file somewhere, or do you delete them? I never delete anything.
I accidentally overwrite a bunch of your shit all the time.
Really?
No. Just, like, no. Once.
What did we...
The Black Bricko.
Huh?
The Black Bricko. You got kind of upset at me.
No, I didn't. I
didn't know you made it.
You know what? I was upset, but I wasn't upset with you. I'm upset because I don't know what the fuck the problem is with the permissions on the image server, where sometimes when I upload an image, it'll give me a fucking confirmation before I overwrite an image that already exists. Like, a non-trivial number of times, like a handful of times, I have uploaded an image that had the same name as an old image, and it just overwrites it, and so, like, some new content gets spoiled because right. The picture for some old thing changes, and then I have to, like, fish out the old picture from the wiki, because right. If I can't find a copy of it on whatever computer I happen to be working on at the time. Sometimes it asks me for confirmation, and sometimes it doesn't.
Usually it does not ask me.
I don't know what the fuck the problem is. Like, and every time I ask Geff, he's like, that's your software. But, like, no, it's not. It's not my fucking software, because it happens on some files, but not on others.
Yeah.
It's clearly some aspect of the permissions on the... Ugh. You know, and it does seem like the kind of thing that would be your software, right? Whether it would ask you for confirmation on an overwrite seems like the kind of thing that would be a function of your software.
Well, maybe your software also varies... on a given day of the week.
It could be. I did install that Ruby Tuesday update. I'm running Ruby Tuesday on Rails. So anyway, those old zones do still exist. There is a problem, though, in that all defunct zones have a zone ID of 999.
Yeah.
And when you try to load zone 999 in our location spindler, it only loads the first one in the database. So I can't actually look at these old zones in our tools. Now, I don't change them to 999 anymore. I just mark them unpublic because we didn't used to be able to do that.
I could
give them a bunch of other numbers, right?
Yeah.
But then I feel like there's some stuff like Teleportitis only checks zones whose ID are not 999, right? Like, there's... I'm afraid to change a lot of shit on the back end because of this janky-ass 7-year-old
code base. That can't be the case because it would go to all the stuff that isn't 999 and non-public.
Is there a bunch of stuff that isn't 999 and is public?
It is no, and is non-public, is what I'm saying.
Okay, maybe it's checking public now instead of 999,
well,
you know?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You could change the old stuff to non-999 and...
To non-999?
Yeah, and to...
What about na-na-na-na?
And then make it unpublic.
Hey, 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 goodbye.
Yeah.
Jose Cuervo says, could the slime-soaked organs transform in sequence, please? I need one last hypothesis to complete my last skill, but I blew up my wand again. And that's with a Platinum Yandorian Express card, too.
Does that refresh your wand?
Oh. You want things to zap in sequence? No. Jesus Christ, no. No.
Does the PYEC refresh your wand?
I don't...
Maybe it does.
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like it would.
All of that NetHack shit was Jim, right?
Like, yeah.
All
yeah.
of it. So it's there could be all kinds of crazy hidden interactions with stuff. Because there's still, I think there's some shit that, like, the people just don't know about. Like, things that operate differently in the Dungeons of Doom than other places. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a lot of little secrets in there.
Yeah. You can actually find a way to play an entire game of NetHack that I don't think anybody stumbled across, but, you know, that's cool.
Somebody, I think it was either Hellion or, I think it was Hellion, proposed this little, like, NetHack minigame to replace the current, like, sort of Teleportitis and Prey.
Right.
Which I kind of liked, actually. I kind of enjoyed...
It would be awesome if there was some sort of recursive challenge when the NetHack tournament was going on,
mm-hmm.
if they had to come play KOL to do one of the challenges, and that forced them to go back to NetHack and play a particular style, which then forced them to come back to KOL, and there was just no way to actually ever resolve.
So, like, Scheherazade.
Yeah.
Like, you playing a deck with four Scheherazades in it.
Yeah.
How did you get four Scheherazades?
I told you that I got an entire Arabian Nights set for $50.
Hmm.
Right? A complete, pristine Arabian Nights set for $50.
Yeah.
And I do not... I mean, I sold all my cards. I could have... that if I had just held on to that, I could have probably sold that for $1,000 these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000 is less than it used to be, now that you're a grown-up.
Yeah, but it's still more than $50.
Sure. It's more than $50, but I mean, you know, you had fun.
I did. I did have fun.
You had some money at a time when you needed it.
I guess.
To, I don't know, buy dinner
cameras.
For some skinny girl.
Cameras, mostly.
Cameras. Buy a camera to take pictures of some anorexic whores.
Yeah.
That's what you do, man.
I did take a lot of pictures of girls, though.
Yeah. No, I know. I've seen some of them.
That's true.
Let's see. I'm skipping some of these questions, man.
That's fine. You have to be the one.
All right, so Cosmo Cornelius points out, in reference to your music question about Hey Ya, if you listen to the clip they posted on the wiki page, you can clearly hear the bass line go from G to C to D to E, which is, in theory terms, a 1-4-5-6 movement, since the song is in G major. The lowest note moves from the first note of the scale, which is a G, to the 4th, 5th, C and D, and finally to the 6th, which is E, and the movement from D to E is known as a deceptive cadence, since you would normally expect to go from 1-4-5-1 instead of 1-4-5-6, creating because 1-4-5-1 would create an authentic cadence that gives a sound of resolution, but since it doesn't, it's deceptive. And I do understand that now. Also, Hey Ya, you think of Hey Ya as a good song? Weird time signature. It's got like a 4-4 measure and then two more 4-4 measures on a different chord, and then a 2-4, and then goes on to another 4-4.
Whatever, dude. You and your crazy time signature.
I'm just
stuff.
Saying, it's a thing. It's a thing that you understand on some visceral level when you listen to music. And you're smarter than I am. The math should seem like a reasonable thing.
I feel like I understand
the
math, but I cannot hear it. Is the thing that is the distinction, right?
All right.
You know, I don't know.
Hoopity says, the Jake of old would have written an exception case for the plexiglass pike. Ancestral rage fills you as you flip the pike around and club your opponent with the handle. I have figured out a way, without sacrificing anything, to make that into a club. I just need to do it.
Yep.
Put that on my list of things to write down.
Riff,
make a note of it.
Okay.
Riff.
I will abbreviate it.
Riff can
A-N-U.
Yes.
Riff has to do it because I'm not at a.
We're going for all the old radio show tropes now. Severus says, can we please have the perfect axe drop in Camp Logging Cap somewhere? What's the perfect axe? Is that a reference to Axe Cop?
Oh, I think it might be.
Yeah.
Oh, Severus says, or better yet, have a flute drop from the axe handle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an axe cop. I did not read far enough into it to encounter the perfect axe, I guess. Linguini Lad says, it's funny that Jarlsberg would tell me you're doing it wrong if he saw me whacking monsters with my chef staff. let's see. Linguini Lad says, doesn't Candy Blast count as a spell? If it does, then how come my spell doesn't do stench damage while I have the Cookbook of the Damned equipped? Why doesn't Flavor of Magic change Candy Blast to whatever element damage you want? Well, because Candy Blast is only capable of doing physical damage. The same reason that Flavor of Magic won't change Salsa Ball to stench if you're fighting a monster that's vulnerable to stench damage, because Salsa Ball is a hot spell. Candy Blast is a physical damage spell. Sean Clannery says, hey guys, question about the movable feast. When it's equipped on a familiar that's in your terrarium, it can't be used to give the +10 buff, bug or feature?
It's
feature, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a thing. Like, stuff that's usable and equipable tends to not be usable while it is equipped.
It is hard to explain to somebody who doesn't know how the back end of the data structures work, but when you actually equip something, it ceases to exist.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like it makes any sense, but the way that the game is defined, it does. Like, for it to continue to exist while it's equipped is a huge pain in the ass.
The wiki, the Kaiten Apprentice says, the wiki says that the Platinum Yandere Express card cools wands.
Okay, so that's cool.
Cool. That is as cool as the wand. Missing Number says, Gina should be a condemned soul wandering Hades. That's pretty funny. Linguini Lad says, it would be funnier if the pirate insult book instead said, my sword will slice ye from scrotum to sternum. The pirates are equal opportunity insulters, and not all women have scrotums.
Just a few.
Yeah. Well, no, all women have a few scrotums. Well, it depends. You know, you wear them on a necklace as a trophy. Grizzly trophies of the men you've emasculated.
Yeah.
Chiquita Mosquito says, while popping a bag of popcorn in the microwave just now, a thought popped into my head. Pop appears a lot in that sentence, and every time I read it, I thought it was poop. Like, while pooping a bag of popcorn in the microwave just now, a thought pooped into my poop. Wait, head does not look like poop.
Let's hope.
Yeah. Why come no popcorn food item? Eating too much of it could give you the effect popcorn lung. Ah, popcorn? That's gross. So I was listening to the Adam Carolla podcast, and he was talking about a level of admiration such that described as a guy who would eat the peanuts out of your poop. He likes you so much that he would eat the peanuts out of your poop.
Wow.
Remember Duty.com?
No.
God. Really?
No.
Riff, did you ever go
yes.
to Duty.com? Back in the a long time ago, it was a website where every day there was this incredibly elaborate animated GIF that a guy had made that was just this endless loop of some cartoon about poop, right?
A new one every day.
A new one every day.
The one I specifically recall was the two basketball players bouncing a turd back and forth between their buttholes.
Back and forth forever.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Did you ever go to RateMyPoo.com?
No.
Okay.
No.
See, that was.
I did go to AMI Bios or not.
RateMyPoo.com was actually pretty funny because it was, you know, it was like, am I hot or not?
But it was pictures of poop.
People would take pictures of their poop, and then there was like actual discussion about how cool or not cool or gross or not gross people's poop was. Yeah. I only went there once, but I spent there like half an hour like being like, wow.
That poop is interesting.
The internet is interesting, and this is kind of gross.
I see.
I'm not sure interesting is the right word there.
The internet is interesting. The fact that that exists, that's pretty interesting.
Horrifying.
Yeah, but horror is interesting.
Missing No says, do you guys ever plan to add any more Bricko items from time to time down the road? I love the race to find everything, and I'm saddened by the fact that it appears to be over. Yeah, you know, we opened up kind of a can of worms with this item because it is so fraught with potential that no matter how much work we put into it, it wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah.
Right, because we literally could have just kept adding shit to it forever and never
released. I do kind of feel like we should have made it as a regular content update and not a item of the month.
You know, if we could figure out some way to do it, you know. we do a Librem of dark Brickos or something, you know, and do like an evil version of it as a Librem somewhere down the road, right? Like, that'd be cool, potentially.
I guess.
I don't know. Yeah.
We no matter how much work we put into it, though, you can always do more. That's
yeah.
We took a lot of extra time to make it, I feel like, as cool as we could, given our time constraints. Which we missed our time constraints to make it even
right,
cooler
yeah.
than we could. And, the idea of going back and doing that again, just... I don't know how to describe it. It's like the possibilities are infinite, and so we would never feel like we were done, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, this is just us not being the kind of people who deserve any money, I guess. I mean, I think, you know, we had pointed out and Riff said just now, like, this should not have been an item of the month. This should have been. Just a thing.
Regular content.
Yeah, this should have been regular content. So that way we could feel... Because, you know, something about items of the month makes me not want to spend time on them retroactively.
I mean, the grimoires we did specifically to sort of have some regular grimoire.
Grimoire we did, right?
Okay, that's true. We haven't gone back to...
Grimoire's sense have not necessarily been thought about that way.
That's true.
Right, and people wonder, what the fuck, you know? And, you know, I feel like the next grimoire, nobody's going to buy it.
It depends, right? Because this past grimoire was like had tiny, like, just little bits of utility.
It didn't when it launched, was the thing. It did not have any utility to speak of. It didn't have any optimal utility, to be sure. But then once we added the disco nap equals free rests, then it had optimal utility. Oh, but that was after it was out of the store. Right? So that was a weird... That, you know, I feel a little icky about that, honestly, in retrospect.
Huh.
Right, and it's also the thing where now it's like we can't really add anything to it because we will dilute the utility.
Sure.
You know, and somebody... And you know, that said... All right, I'm gonna read this again. Rickett says, "Dear Jick, do whatever you want to food and booze. People will bitch for a couple of weeks and then forget about it. Also, it'll be hilarious." There is, to a certain extent, we have a responsibility to the community to not fuck them over and to not piss them off, right? But
we also have a responsibility to make the game.
To a certain extent, we also have a responsibility to not design the game by committee when the committee is
all of our players.
Yeah, like a fucking symphony of infants screaming, right? Like,
yeah.
Because it's not, in general, like, and I don't want to say that our player base is a symphony of infants screaming, but I'm saying that the forums are sometimes reminiscent of a symphony of infants screaming, right?
I also feel like that depends a lot on how you interpret the forum post, right? Because, like, I feel like somebody can post something and not have any whininess implied or
sure
intended, and you can just read it that way.
There are a large number of people who complain and don't genuinely know what they want, right? And so part of our job is giving them what they need, not what they ask for, right? I mean, that's just sort of like a fundamental lesson that we have learned over the course of doing this stuff, right? I don't know. Do you want to revamp food and booze?
No.
Yeah, I know.
There's just so many other things we're working on.
Sure.
You know? I don't think it's broken enough to really require a revamp.
Yeah. What frustrates me about food and booze, as it exists now, is that we cannot add food or booze without it either being better than the best thing that exists or useless.
That's... And yeah. I don't agree with that. We can add food or booze that gives you interesting effects that does not have as good of adventure gain.
Right.
And there will be at least some times that you want to use that, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
So it, you know, there are other ways of going about it sort of laterally.
Sure.
So
it's just hard to move upwards, right? Like, it's hard to do aftercore stuff because we don't want stuff that gives you more turns. We don't want stuff that you can get readily that gives you more turns than the stuff right now.
Right.
You know? And so, in a way, it would be nice if we could crank down the power of the, like, highest Postomancer stuff and add some new stuff in higher level content that is not useless, right? Like, add some new stuff that is maybe equivalent in power to the stuff that we've got now. The market, I feel like, would even itself out pretty quickly for that kind of stuff. I mean, are there a lot of people heavily invested in spaghetti with skull heads, you know?
I mean, I feel like people for the Crimbo content would, like, buy a bunch of frozen banquets and stuff like that. Like, we can still have some of those, like relatively hard to get, relatively rare, high-end food and boozes that you just wouldn't use on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, so... I mean, I feel like there is still space to expand. It's just tricky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we did... You know, I'm super pleased with the sort of, like, follow-up. The big content spectrum that is not even started on yet, except conceptually. Like, my idea for how to handle food and booze in that... I am crazy satisfied with. Because it does sort of allow us to start over.
Yeah.
And in a way that doesn't piss people off the way that sushi did.
Right.
Right.
Did sushi piss people off?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it pisses people off. It's just, it makes them feel like...
getting kicked in the nards.
Yeah. It seems like a slap in the face, I think. Because it is so...
onerous to get going with it. And it comes to you at a point where you're used to having your cake and eating it, too.
And now you can only have your cake or eat it. You can't do both.
Yeah, it's fish cakes, though. Yeah. Blah, blah, fish cakes. Jarno says, would you perhaps consider making a list of the music you played directly before, on break, and at the end of your shows? I usually just listen to the recorded shows, and I like the music. Sometimes we talk about it, but the show on the way in here was The Birds, Feel a Whole Lot Better When You're Gone. We forgot to take a music break. We got so enthusiastic about doing this here radio show.
Wow, we're almost done.
Yeah, I know.
The time just flew by.
Well, we were having a good conversation. I hope that people enjoy it.
Won't just hate us forever.
Well, I'm pretty drunk at this point. They hate us forever because of things that I say about how you don't like fat chicks.
Yeah.
Well, they won't hate me. I'm giving you the news, not the weather. Inconceivably OO says, does that mean you're object-oriented in a way that is beyond the ken of mortal man? Would it be a pain to add a right-click option to add stuff to stash from the inventory pane? No. Try and convince Uncle Seymour. Grimtooth says, are you guys going to get that huge Lego pirate ship to do battle with your Star Wars sets? When I saw this question, I looked up whether there was a huge Lego pirate ship or not, and I didn't find anything. Is there some kind of huge Lego pirate ship?
Yeah, it's not labeled under the regular pirate line.
Really?
Yeah, they're putting the pirate line on hiatus.
Really?
Okay.
And this is like the last thing that's come out.
How big is it?
I haven't seen a picture of it with any other objects to gauge the scale, really.
But, I mean, you clearly know something about the set. I looked, and I couldn't find anything.
Let me look and see if I can find a link for you.
Yeah, I mean, because if there was... yeah, I don't know. I'm allergic to spending less than, like, $300 on a Lego set.
The problem with the... I mean, as I recall, it's really cool looking, but the problem I have with the Lego ships is that the hulls always seem to be made out of three giant plastic blocks.
Wow, really?
Yeah. They kind of have that problem like the way the castles have that fist-sized gray piece that looks like jagged rocks.
There's,
you know?
There's Redbeard's pirate ship, and then there's Brickbeard's.
Brickbeard's Revenge or whatever.
It is. It's a Navy vessel.
Navy vessel?
Huh. But it's not like the Imperial flagship or something, right?
Oh, I think that's what it is.
That's old. That's like years. That's like 10 years old.
Well, maybe. Okay. It's Imperial something, I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
Unless they're talking about something new that I haven't heard of.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I was excited because I'm always excited about another huge Lego set. You know, I'm boring with Legos, man. Riff out Legos.
I'm pretty sure
everybody.
It's this Imperial flagship.
There's this awesome Lego aircraft carrier with like 40 Lego airplanes on the deck.
Is that a real set?
No.
No, it's just something somebody made.
It is amazing, though.
Is it the Yamamoto or something?
I don't know.
I saw some giant battleship. I think it is this Imperial flagship.
Huh.
Wow. I'm pretty sure that's the new one.
This is like 20 feet across. Lego battleship.
You know, we still haven't gotten a check-in, so I guess we can just keep radioing. We were a few minutes late. Pobblebonk writes, I know it's a lame joke, but could you make the guys at the Island Arena say there was a lot of buzz about the concert when you used the guy made of bees? Just a nod to the trick. That's pretty funny. Also, you should change the description of the Sandwich of the Gods to reflect that sandwich you keep going on about. Truly, it must be ambrosia itself. Oh, man. We should take your mom to Lee's Sandwiches.
No.
She wouldn't like it.
She might, but it's not. It's not a thing.
It's a thing.
No.
It's totally a thing.
It's a chain.
If we talk about it, it's a thing. It's a chain with like a handful of. It doesn't really count as a chain. Yogi's is a chain.
Yeah, I wouldn't take her to Yogi's.
All right.
Right.
I would take my mom to Yogi's. Why don't you love your mom?
I don't love my mom the way you love my mom.
Boy, that's true. Because that would be against the law.
And gross.
Well, really, it's against the law when I do it too.
What?
there are still blue laws in this state.
What?
There are not blue laws in this state.
Are you calling my mom a whore?
No. Store of Thrones says, are you surprised by the positive response to Brickos? No. I assumed that people would be as excited about this as we were when we were working on it. And
we felt a duty to do it as well as we could, I think.
And also, when I was in San Francisco, I felt a duty because I accidentally was walking on my hands on the sidewalk.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, ugh. No, I wasn't. Remember you trying to do something where you broke your own back. And then you letting Sora fucking karate hurl you onto the sidewalk and then complaining the next day because your back
hurt. Wasn't that the same
thing?
I'm like,
what the fuck?
Didn't you just say the same thing twice?
No, there was the one thing where you were trying to do the weird back bend down a tree or some shit, and so I wasn't around for that.
That was,
And then there was the time Sorab hurled you, like, Hot Stuff just was like, hey, I bet you can't karate throw me onto this fucking sidewalk. And I'm like, you guys, this is a really stupid idea. You shouldn't do that. And then Sorab totally karate throwed him onto the sidewalk. And then you were, like, whining about how much it hurt for days. And I'm like, well, I fucking told you not to let some Indian dude hurl you onto a sidewalk.
Okay, this Battleship Yamato is a totally different Lego ship. There are a tremendous number of Lego ships. That's really weird. This is nuts.
Alright, looks like we have got a...
Check-in.
So, you know what I didn't do is, I didn't, do one of those things where I play, I pick a song in advance, so now I'm gonna hem and haw.
That's always a good radio.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one that I saw was the USS Harry Truman, I think, which is an aircraft carrier, and then the Battleship Yamato does not have aircraft, I don't think, on its deck. But I could be wrong.
You know, we're going out on inflammatory writ.
Wow, that's old school.
I know. You know, I play it every once in a while. All right. Good night, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed this here Thursday show, what with our discussions about our design process and all of that shit.
Yeah. And my mom's
we love you.
Into
you
town.
Know, forum people, we love you. We love you. It's just the kind of love where I have to push you down the stairs every once in a while.
It's the Mexican avalanche kind of love. Yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good weekend.
Good night.
It came to me, and I wrote and hunched till 4:30. But that vast old light, it burns out with the night. In spite of all the time that we spend on it, on one bedraggled ghost of a sonnet, well outside the wild boar's root. My heart, I don't know how they do it, so don't ask me. And as for my inflammatory writ,
keen and lovely enough for you. You laid the last great American novels, an unlawful lot left